And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. My name is Dr. Roy Morgan. I am a... wait a second. What am I? I'm the type of person that if you want to improve your health, I like talking about that stuff. Okay. I pulled into the parking lot a while ago, and I had to hit my brakes because there was a vehicle coming off 69 into the... the donut shop next door to me. And I tell you what, I decided I'm going to stop and give them right away. Now, the car had letters all over the outside of it, and it was black and white. And I think it had some type of emergency lights on the top of it, but it must have been an emergency. They had to get through the drive-thru. Anyway, let me just break it down for you. Back in 1776, and I forget the gentleman's name, but he was a chemist, he discovered a substance in the human body called uric acid. And I want to say that when he discovered uric acid in the human bloodstream in 1776, I think the normal range was around 2.5 to maybe 2.7. And the reason why this is so critical is every so often you come across a person that's just, they hurt all the time. When their skin, they're red-faced, you can see it. The cheeks are not the normal color. They're just really, really red all the time. I know that you have been out in the real world, and whether you're at church or a restaurant or you're at a store or you're at the hardware store, you know, Home Depot, someplace like that, you're going to see somebody that when you see their face or their skin, it's just abnormally red. And so those are all signs that a person is accumulating way, way, way too much uric acid. Uric acid is building up. I remember, and you know, I think I drove by it a few weeks ago. I drove by our grocery store that we used to have when I was a child. It was called Roy's Lakeside Grocery. Yeah, it was my mom and dad's store. And in the back room, there was large tanks that held minnows. I always thought that was like great. Because it was my job to catch them and put them in a bag. And you have the oxygen tank where you... give them some air and you fill that sucker up because everybody wants minnows if they're going to go fish for crappie. And we had these big, we had this big glass container. I think it was a house for crickets. And guess what we fed the crickets all the time? Potatoes. So if potatoes were used in cooking, I know who is getting the potato skins. That'd be those crickets. They go to town on that stuff. And so what else did we have? We had all sorts of worms, crickets, catfish blood bait. Anyway, part of the grocery store was, it was Roy's Lakeside Grocery, but it said bait and tackle. So, you know, you had a section of the store that was devoted to fishing. And the storeroom in the back, that's where the minnows were, and that's where we kept all the extra chocolate bars and stuff. I remember one time, I think a rat got into the store. And when you eat into a Hershey's chocolate bar from, you know, back in 1969... you notice that you don't see it the same way now. What used to happen is if a chocolate bar, which was sweetened with regular sugar, when it would start to oxidize, you'd go, oh my goodness, the chocolate's getting this chalky look to it. It's turning hard. It's no longer creamy. Well, they solved all that. It's called high fructose corn syrup. And so what they've done is they found just a real clever way to extract sugar out of corn. I'm telling you, it's bizarre, but it's the way the world is. So when you drink a soft drink now, it's not going to be filled with sugar. It's going to have high fructose corn syrup. Some of the people listening are going to know what I'm talking about. They know that the way that you would get a Coke back in 1969 or 1970 is they had these floor cases... they were made of metal. They were Coke machines, and you just would stack the bottles in sideways, and they had the bottle opener right there on the side where you'd like pop the bottle open. But the Cokes back then were like 6.5 ounces. And you know what I think was so cool? Those machines would get so cold that the inside of the Coca-Cola would turn to ice. Yes, it's true. I can freely confess I have had a Coca-Cola that's been frozen before. And you know what? The thing is really good. It's addictive, but I'm telling you, it's poison for you. It's really incompatible to have great health in the drink soda waters all day long filled with sugar. It ain't happening. You know, that's okay. If you want to live in a fantasy world, you can come up with whatever you want. The thing of it is, it's your choice. You gotta figure it out. No one can force you what to do. Believe me, I've already had a week where I've gone round and round and round with people over, what was it, sweet tea? They just can't come to terms with that. They're just destroying their health by drinking a gallon of sweet tea. And then finally, I just have to let it go. Okay, I can't tell you what to do. You have to make your own decision. You're the one that's hurting all the time. You feel horrible. You're going to the emergency room and the doctor over and over again, and they keep saying, well, we can't figure out what the problem is, even though your body's telling you. You don't even need a lab test. If you hurt badly, if you're exhausted, if you're having one spell after the other, if you're sick of it, why don't you just take a step back and say, what am I doing here? Well, you might figure out at some point that all that sugar is just not good for you. Anyway, here's the point that I'm getting to. You already know that sugar is absolutely the most addictive substance on the planet. It is. It's like crack cocaine. And the more of it that you consume, the more of it you want. Now, I did have a beautiful story this week. This is what the man told me. And let's just say it relates to diabetes. Okay? He said, okay, this is what happened to me. For 1 week after starting a feeding window of 6 hours, it was torture. I was always hungry. I couldn't think straight. My body was telling me I got to get a pastry. Give me a donut. Give me a soft drink. I need to have a candy bar or whatever. I mean, everybody's done that, right? Of course. And so he said for 1 week I was tortured. I couldn't do it. But after the week, all those sensations went away. And so that's the truth of the matter. If you start cutting out sugar and all the starches and all the grains and all the pastries and donuts and the candy that you're eating, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start to lose your taste for it. That's the way it works. And so all of a sudden, he's going, oh my goodness, this is like the best that I've felt. What I'm doing is I'm trying to create an environment for my body to overcome and to heal. And you know what the truth of the matter is? Back in 1930, I think the mortality rate for cancer was like 152.4 or 154.2 per 100,000 people. And what I'm referring to is that's the number of people that died from cancer in 1930. Well, if we go all the way up to the year 2019 and look at that study, because I don't think I could find the stats from 2021 yet, it's absolutely no different. I realize that they're telling you that we're winning the war on cancer, but we're not. Well, what if the solution is in a different way? I mean, who did I tell? Was it yesterday or the day before? I'm just explaining to them. I said, okay, if we look at the medical research on why someone does not overcome chronic infections. And can I just use the example of a UTI or a urinary tract infection? Okay, that's only my example. Well, studies show that probably 95% of all urinary tract infections are caused by one organism. It's called E. coli. If you want to call it Escherichia coli, yep, I'm fine with that. Gram-negative bacteria stains a certain way under a microscope or in the presence of a stain, it turns a certain color. And so here's the bottom line. If you know that bacteria, viruses, cancer cells, funguses, parasites, worms, guess what they like to eat? Are you kidding? They love the crack cocaine of the food world. It's called sugar. It really is. If you're the number one predictor of all time, just in case you don't get anything else from the program today, let me tell you, if you do not want to have an infection, if you don't want to wreck your immune system, you're going to have to limit the amount of sugar. Because absolutely the number one predictor of someone that has chronic infections that never go away, well, guess what it is? It's called the amount of sugar that you consume. It's as simple as that. You can't say you want to kill an infection and treat it at the same time while you're eating like a boatload of sugar every day. Does that make sense? And yes, I got to ask the question, what did your doctor say about this? And I'm talking about the specialist of all specialists. I said, what did the doctor say about drinking Cokes and eating sugar all day long? And here was the answer, well, probably not that big of a deal at the age that you're at. And I'm going, that's not an answer. that's skirting, that's diverting, that's avoidance. You can call it anything you want, but what's the truth of it? It's incompatible with healing to say, I want to get over this infection. I'm sick of this infection. I'm tired of having these infections. But if you're eating things that convert into sugar very easily, well, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have more of the infection, and you're going to be puzzled and scratch your head and go, man, I wonder why this 67th round of antibiotics is not working. I think one of the best things that I could tell you right now is, if you consume more sugar, I got to be careful how I'm saying this, because let me start over here. I really do think the body benefits from carbohydrates. I do. You need a certain amount of them. And so, for example, if you eat a sweet potato, if you have an avocado, let's just say for lunch, you're going to have something that's untraditional for lunch. You've decided that what you really want is you want an omelet. And in that omelet, you're going to add tomatoes. You're going to put onions that have been sauteed. You love your bell peppers. And you've got this new type of cheese that you really, really want to try. And you want to make an omelet. Well, what you're doing is you're eating a high-fat meal. I'd say brilliant choice if you want to heal. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
I decided that you would be my priority right now. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you. Hey, I'm 75 years old, and I don't have a whole lot of problems with what I'm going to ask your opinion on, but a friend of mine does.
Okay, then let's get after it.
He's younger than me by about 5 years, I guess, and he seems to be getting noticeably forgetful.
Yeah.
And I listen to you about all the time, so I thought maybe I thought you'd probably talked about it before, but I thought I'd write some of the stuff down today.
Well, here's the number one issue when someone ages. They have changes in what's called their microvascular circulation. So you've heard of the term, somebody saying the smallest blood vessel in the body is called a capillary. And it's so small that you can only get one red blood cell to squeeze through it at any given time. You can't get 20 to clump together because they won't go through a capillary. And so when you have narrowed arteries and you have reduced blood flow and you cannot deliver oxygen and nutrients to the brain, what's going to happen? Well, you don't have enough energy to remember. Now, what they usually do is there's a test called an MRI. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Yeah.
And what they do with an MRI is they take a picture of the brain. And I think it's a great test. I love it because, number one, it doesn't use a boatload of radiation like a CAT scan does. Oh, my goodness, a CAT scan is like a mega dose of gamma radiation. I'm pretty sure if we can find some other test than a CAT scan, that's what I want to go with, so we have an MRI. There's a structure in the brain where short-term memory takes place. It's called the hippocampus. Okay? And so the hippocampus on an MRI, when it begins to shrink, there's your diagnosis right there. There's dementia. Or if you want to say Alzheimer's, I'm okay with that also. And so the only play that we have is, what are we going to do to improve blood flow to the brain? And I would just suggest, can I just like lay out two or three things for you?
Sure.
Okay, before I picked up the phone, I was talking about eating a high-fat meal. I think what you're doing is you're setting yourself up for the greatest success of all time if you start your day with a high-fat meal. Well, what would that look like? Well, if an egg is like 75% pure fat or 65% fat, depending on what they feed the chickens, I'd say that's like a really good start. Now, personally, I think it's a huge mistake to take the egg yolks out and try to eat the whites. It don't work that way. Nice plan, but don't do that. If you want to become nutrient deficient, then just eat egg whites all the time. You're only fooling yourself. It's going to lead in disaster. So if they look at all the super centurions that are 110 years of age and above, let me tell you what they're not eating. They're not eating banana splits. They're not eating muffins. They're not eating Chips Ahoy cookies as their main meal. There's no honey buns in their pantries. Guess what they got? They got chickens. And so when you look at people that live a long time, they're eating stuff like eggs and bacon. Now, the one thing about bacon that I'm going to protest is sodium nitrites and sodium nitrates. But you can get uncured bacon now. Guess what they cure it with? Celery juice. It comes from a plant called celery. Which maybe there's a lesson in there also. If you're trying to restore your health, maybe you should have celery instead of donuts. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so you've got to change what you're doing. If you want the arteries to become narrowed and clogged, eating sugar will accomplish that quite nicely. So the more carbohydrates you eat, so right now he needs to put a stop to all the carbohydrates. Not all of them. It's fine with me if he has an avocado, if he has sweet potatoes, if he wants to eat cherries, blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, asparagus. You get the gist of it. But that's what he can eat right now and do well, and eat really, really fatty meat. I recommend fatty fish like halibut and salmon and sardines. The supplement that I think of that they've used on rats and mice to improve memory, you want to know what it's called?
Sure.
It's called resveratrol. You ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah. Grapes.
There you go. And so when you eat grapes or blueberries, you're getting a teeny tiny amount of resveratrol, and that's good. But when you drink a glass of red wine, you're getting a heck of a lot more of it. But for a lot of people, drinking a bottle of wine is not really going to put you into greater health. Maybe if you had like a glass a week, not a big deal. But you can actually get resveratrol in the form of a supplement. And so you got to give the body a reason to grow new arteries. That's called exercise. So if your friend can start exercising and trying to give up the carbohydrates and eating more fat and taking resveratrol, now we got our foot in the door. Now we've got some circumstances where we can try to get more blood flow and circulation. Now, I'm just telling you this. I'm not trying to be mean at all. I'm not, but you want me to be honest with you. Do you really want me to sugarcoat everything? No, you don't. But the two drugs that can totally destroy and wreck your memory pretty easily, for example, there's a neurotransmitter in the brain called acetylcholine. So what's the hallmark of all dementia and all forgiveness and being forgetful? It's called a lack of acetylcholine. So what is Alzheimer's? It's an acetylcholine deficiency. Well, guess where the biggest source of choline of all time is? It's eggs. Eat eggs if you want your brain to heal. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You want me to tell you which drugs destroy acetylcholine? It's called Benadryl. Sure. If you got bit by a rattlesnake right now, and the only thing you had in your possession was aspirin and Benadryl, guess what I would tell you to take? Take them. Try to offset that. Stop the histamine reaction until we can get you to a better place. So if you get bit by a spider, have you ever been bit by a spider before?
I have.
That smarts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You ever been stung by a scorpion?
I have not.
That one is the one that really smarts because it hurts for days. Anyway, I've been bitten twice by a scorpion. I always remember it. It's just a great experience. And the thing of it is, when I looked at them, they were not even full grown. They were like half-sized scorpions. I'm going, man, what would it be like if I got a full-grown one? Anyway, and so if a person's using Benadryl to fall asleep or they're using antihistamines to deal with allergies, I have yet, after doing my job for 32 years, hear a doctor say, now, ma'am, I need to tell you about this antihistamine drug. It blocks acetylcholine also. So let me tell you where you're headed. By the time you're 70, you're going to have short-term memory loss, and you won't be able to function and take care of yourself. Now, does that sound like a good trade-off? They're going to say no. The other drug that's so famous for memory loss is just all the statin drugs. And by the way, if you take a statin drug to lower cholesterol for an average of 7 years, guess which disease you get the benefit of developing? It's called adult onset type 2 diabetes. Do you want that?
No.
No, you don't. So what we have to do is, and this is the other hard reality right here. It's really not hard. It's easy. If somebody has memory loss, how much exercise does it take to turn that around? I can tell you what the research shows. An hour and a half a day. We can argue it. We could discuss it. We could sound intelligent. But that doesn't get you on the treadmill for an hour and a half a day. Or walking outdoors. I'll tell you a secret. You want to be able to sleep at night? Go outside as much as possible. You'll sleep much better. So your friend has got inflammation of the brain, age 70. What are we going to do? I would probably recommend that if he's used to eating meat, that's good. But I want to steer him more toward fish and eggs if he wants to rejuvenate his brain. Does that sound reasonable?
It does.
And then I would say if he could fall in love with vegetables, and then the fruit that's most acceptable to restoring the memory is going to be from the berry family. So if he loves to go and pick blackberries and dewberries and mulberries and cherries. Cherries are the winner here. Oh, my goodness. Cherries are the most amazing food for cleaning the body.
What about pot liver oil? That help?
Absolutely. See, I think you're giving a great recommendation to your friend. That's pure brain food. And can I quote two studies to you just real quick? I'll make them fast.
Sure.
I want to say in May of this last year, 2021, there was a major heart study, and I think they compared using one capsule of cod liver oil or fish oil against like a regular aspirin to see if it would lead to any anti-inflammatory changes or improve the outcome when it comes to heart disease. And they said, looky here, fish oil doesn't do anything. It doesn't improve anything. It's a waste of time and money. You should never do it. And so, you know, I take that stuff with a grain of salt, and I'm going, really? You mean everybody's been wrong for hundreds of years about cod liver oil? Okay, you're telling me now it's bad that we should go with straight aspirin. Well, I'll tell you this. You can take all the aspirin you want. You're just going to burn a hole in your stomach and your small intestine. And I know that you don't want to burn a hole and start bleeding out from an ulcer because it's aspirin. Yeah, I would tell you, if you got bit by a rattlesnake or a tarantula, actually, the tarantulas that I'm worried about is called the saber-toothed Neanderthal tarantulas. I've heard stories, but I don't want to come face-to-face with one because it sounds pretty, I ain't going to win. But anyway, I was really just joking about the tarantula. But in this next study, I think it comes from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. They released the article in June. In my mind, I'm thinking June 25th, but it might have been June the 17th. I don't really remember every number I come across. But they show that if you're taking about 4 grams of cod liver oil a day, that'd be the equivalent of like 4 gel caps if they were 1,000 milligrams each. Do you follow me?
I do. I take a tablespoon every morning.
Okay. Well, you're going to look on the bottle and find out how many grams that is, okay? Because in this study, if they got to 4 grams a day, they could increase the blood levels of EPA and DHA in the blood by 1%. You know what that 1% resulted in? Adding 5 years to your life. Wow. Now, let me ask you, are you making plans right now to live to 80, Lord willing?
Yeah, but I'm ready to go whenever he wants me.
Good. But in the meantime, you're going to do your duty and take care of yourself, right?
Yeah, it tells us to do that in the Bible. It says be a good steward with the things God has given you.
Man, amen to that. I agree wholeheartedly. None of this I'm checking out and doing what I want to do. So it's good that you're in alignment with what he wants you to do. He wants you to take good care of yourself. You got to be a good steward. And so cod liver oil, when you take it faithfully, guess what it did? It added 5 quality years to your life. I can tell you right now how to take 5 years off your life. That's easy. Smoke a pack of cigarettes every day for 20 years. Guess what you get? 5 years less walking the earth. Now, for you, I already know what your game plan is. Your game plan is to lift up and help and encourage people to get to a better place, right? Well, what's your best advice to your 70-year-old friend that's becoming forgetful? Have you talked to him about it?
I have not, but...
Well, then that's on your list. You need to. You have a moral responsibility to say, dude, I'm just a little bit worried about you because you don't remember anything.
That's why I called you to get some material to...
So we got a working game plan. What? You know what? He should be thankful that he's got a friend like you that's going to figure this out. And then come. And so When are you going to deliver your sales pitch to him?
Well, he'll be gone next week. He'll be out of town next week, so probably the week after.
Man, that sounds like a good plan. I like it. And so, what else can you tell me about him? Is he on any drugs of any kind? Because the two big ones I told you about are going to be the statin drugs to lower cholesterol. That is a way to develop amnesia. And anything that's an antihistamine or like a drug like Benadryl. I know that Benadryl is really, really helpful, but it's meant for a short season. It's kind of like if you had double pneumonia, I would come personally pick you up and take you to the hospital and say, give this man something to kill the infection in his lungs. I don't want him to die. That's called an antibiotic. I'm okay with that.
I don't know what kind of medicine he takes.
Well, there's very few medicines out there that do anything to fix or heal or repair the body. Would you agree with that?
I would.
There's a whole bunch of medicines that are really good at putting Band-Aids on people. I know you know this because you sound like a smart guy and you're probably on top of it. I don't really stay on top of the news. I probably should, but I choose not to.
Well, I do too. I haven't had television in over 12 years.
Oh, my goodness, I'm liking you more and more every second. What a great man you are. Good choice. Well, let me say this. Correct me if I'm wrong about this. They looked at the number of people that died from COVID-19 last year, and they compared that against the number of people that died from fentanyl overdose. Which one of those do you think is the highest for last year, the number of deaths?
I would guess fentanyl.
You're 100% correct. Now, if it's really killing more people than COVID, and they're all bent out of shape about COVID, what should they be doing about the fentanyl? They need to get rid of it, right? Because evidently everybody's dying that takes it. I mean, I read a story this week on my news feed about a boy that overdosed on it, and they found, I can't remember, it's either 40 bottles of it or 40 bags of it. I don't really know. I mean, I probably got that wrong. But evidently there's no problem with fentanyl. We're able to get all we want. You know what the other thing is? I mean,
I just read on my smartphone a few days ago that they had confiscated enough fentanyl, and I think from illegals coming across the border, that enough fentanyl to kill 220 million people.
There you go.
That's two-thirds of the United States.
And you know what? I'm not going to mention it on the air, but there is a very, very simple way to kill 220 million people. I'm not going to say it, but it's really, really easy, and it could be done super easy because of just what you said. You know what I read on the news feed this morning on my phone? It said they just confiscated 2,000 coconuts. Well, guess what was in the coconuts? Liquid cocaine. So they found a way to get cocaine over just by putting it in coconuts. They just sucked the coconut water off. They probably drank it. Hey, coconut water tastes great, but they fill it up with liquid cocaine. How's that for a smuggling genius activity?
Well, this is just my opinion, but I think if the rational Christians had just looked at what's going on, they have mm-hmm. to admit that it's not just criminal activity, it's demonic activity.
Yes, and we are 100% failing at doing battle against the enemy, aren't we?
Well, the Bible tells me that the battle belongs to the Lord because we don't fight against flesh and blood, we fight against principalities.
Well, and what I'm referring to is the scripture that says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And so you're going to have to put up a fight, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, and you're right. The battle does belong to the Lord. I can't win against Satan, but it's my job to resist.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to try, right?
You bet. And
so your friend, I'm really rooting for him, and I think the very best thing you could do is just have an honest conversation. You know what? I need friends like that in my life where they come to me and say, hey, Roy, you're losing your memory, son. Let's take a look at what's going on. I'm going, thank you so much for telling me. I had no idea I was that forgetful. Well, what can I do? Oh, that's right. I'm taking Benadryl every day and I'm taking a statin drug. But my doctor told me to. He's worried about my cholesterol. Well, you know what? All jokes aside, you can't form even one simple memory without cholesterol. I don't know if you know that or not. Some of the information that's imprinted upon a cholesterol molecule and the protein that it's attached to, that's how you pull up memories, which to me is like one amazing mystery, how the mind works. It's incredible. I'm going to say that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Would you agree with that statement?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're a good friend. I think you've got a good starting point. The idea of cod liver oil, that's perfect. Guess what I took this morning before I came on the air? Cod liver oil.
Yeah, I'll dip it before you come on the air, too.
Well, hey, we agree. So we've figured out one thing. There are two men that agree on one topic. That's awesome. Hey, thanks for your phone call. I'm going to let somebody else call, okay?
All right. Thanks for your help.
Yes, sir. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. There is a phone line officially open. It's 903-586-5257 if you want to call and ask a question. You know, sometimes you have to do your duty and your responsibility to help other people, even if they don't like it. At least you can say you tried. If you see somebody going off the deep end, I mean, do your job. Try to help them. And don't worry about it. If they refuse or reject you, well, you will not be the first person that's been refused or rejected. You know who's been rejected? Jesus Christ has. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Good. How are you, Dr. Morgan?
I'm great, thanks.
Good.
You sound like you're super happy today.
I'm pretty happy.
I think you're pretty happy all the time.
Hey, I have a quick question. I have a great-granddaughter who has a wart on her foot, a planter's wart, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And I've been putting cod liver oil on it at night. Mapping it up,
right?
And it's getting lighter in color and a little softer. But should she wear a bandage during the day, or should she air it out?
Well, let me ask you this: when you hold her hand or touch her hand, are her fingers cold?
No.
Okay, that's a good sign. Does she eat a lot of sugar?
Sometimes. She's 7.
Well, and it's really, really... Oh, yeah, I understand. I mean, she's not really in charge of anything yet, is she?
No.
Wait, do you let her decide the menu when you bring her over the house?
No.
But she could probably come up with a good one, right?
Yeah, it's probably good.
I bet you anything, she is an adorable, sweet, happy child, isn't she?
She has her moments, yes.
You know what? You're not going to fall for any of my setup questions today, are you? Anyway, so we've got 3 or 4 options here. One thing that you could do is you could change the brand of cod liver oil and get the worst one that you can buy, because sometimes the worst ones work. The viruses don't like that. Meaning, if you get the, by far and away the cheapest liquid one that almost smells bad, sometimes I find those work amazingly well. I think, what self-respecting viral colony would like to be around rotten cod liver oil? The answer is none of them. They're going to jump ship. It's interesting, but when an adult has warts all over them and they have a high fever for 3 days, guess what happens? The warts almost always fall off. Which I find that fascinating. I think that is so cool. God's design of the immune system. So if the cod liver oil is not really doing what you want it to do, it does take weeks. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you in 1 nanosecond of a Band-Aid saturated with cod liver oil on the plantar's wart, it's going to disappear and go away. But over time, but the sugar issue, that's one of the hardest things that I have to contend with. And let me tell you some of the reasons why. It's not just the great-granddaughter. It's the way that her mother took care of herself, and then the grandmother took care of herself, and then we got the great-grandmother, which is you. And this is not an indictment or accusation, but we get this rich, rich genetic heritage and ancestry. So when people make good use of their time, so like if my great-grandparents had Pepsi and moon pies for lunch, guess what Roy's going to get? he's going to be cheated slightly. So what she's doing now is going to make a huge difference. But one thing that I would probably do, you might want to put a little bit of liquid iodine on that also.
Okay.
Just to give the immune system a chance to, like, kill it, get rid of it. Because if you don't get it down all the way down to its roots and its core, that sucker comes right back every time.
Okay.
I've seen podiatrists take and burn it off, then when it comes back 3 months later, then they'll freeze it off, and then when it comes back 2 months later, then they'll cut it out. And guess what happens after they cut it out? It comes right back later.
Yeah, we were talking about that last night.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
how did the conversation go?
She said, "I don't want to do that." She goes, "It would be hard to play."
You know what? She's making a great point.
And I said, "Yeah, it would be hard to ride your bike, wouldn't it?" She goes,
"Oh, sure."
Yeah.
You know what? I'm sure there's some people that would enjoy hopping around on one foot all the day long, but not a 7-year-old.
Not a 7-year-old.
Okay, so let's look at this right here. If you start putting a good source of iodine, just a liquid iodine, directly on that area, and just really butter it up really good, bathe it on there. I mean, you can try a bunch of things. You could even try cutting out a piece of duct tape and putting a thin layer of duct tape. Let me tell you what you're doing. You're trying to choke the sucker to death. It's like that story I heard about the man that fought the mountain lion. Supposedly, it was a mountain lion. I think it was a very, very young one that he got an altercation with. But I think he was able to choke it out. Which, man, how did a man do that? He probably used his superior jiu-jitsu skills or Aikido skills to put a choke on the animal. I don't know how that happens. Hey, would you be willing to fight a mountain lion?
No.
Yeah, me either.
Now
so,
you just have an easy lunch.
It may be that a small section of round duct tape or square that you tape it to the bottom of her foot during the day. I mean, you got to clean all that oil and everything off, but choke that sucker out.
Okay. So she should have this at night, and then during the day.
The cod liver oil at night, yes. You're putting the cod liver oil on a sterile Band-Aid, taping it to it, just so you can keep the oil in contact with the plantar wart.
Right. And then during the day, I should put iodine on it and duct tape?
Yeah. There you go. Okay. Bingo. And the other thing is this right here. And I can tell you right now, I get to look at people all day long, and I very rarely get a positive response from this. But I'm telling you the truth. It's just a matter of what a person can accept and do or not. So vitamin A, the reason they first call vitamin A is because it's the anti-infective vitamin. But I can tell you this, if you start looking at the old textbooks on vitamin A, you're going to find night blindness, vision loss. If you deprive an animal of vitamin A, they give birth to babies without eyesight. It's just horrible. And so you could say, is vitamin A important to the eyes? Well, yes, it is. But the other thing is, you got to have vitamin A to, it's so necessary for all the protective coverings of the body. So if I say your outer skin is your outer protective barrier, you'd say, well, that makes sense. Well, guess what your inner protective barrier is? Inside of you, you've got this one big long tube. It goes from your mouth or your nose all the way down to the other end. How many feet long is that? I don't know. Let me see. 5 plus 6 plus 20. I'm going to say it's close to 30 feet long. I could be wrong. Maybe it's 27. Wait, how tall are you?
5'5".
Okay, yours is 26 and a half feet long. But anyway, you've got this long tube, but that still protects you from the outside world. And you've got to have vitamin A to do its job, to protect those mucous line membranes and also your outer membranes also. And so if I play upon the idea that if you have great integrity of your gut lining and you have great integrity of your outer skin, it's going to be able to resist some pesky plantar virus saying, hey, let's bore a hole right here and let's dig in deep and let's form a colony. And just think, we get to spread to all the world if we can just live here for a little while. We can give it to the baby brother. We can give it to the cousins. We can give it to the great-grandmother. No offense, but you just keep spreading the viral colony. Well, you got to have vitamin A to make sure that doesn't get a foothold. And so you know this is a total setup, don't you?
I do.
Here it comes. Guess what the highest source of vitamin A is of all time?
Sweet potatoes.
Good guess, but it's really calf liver or beef liver. And most people, they just run from the idea. Anyway, if you can wrap your mind around that, if you've got like a chronic infection in your body that you're probably lacking vitamin A, I'd rather you not take synthetic vitamin A. You can take all the retinol palmitate you want, but it may be a little toxic to the liver. But if you get it from a food source like what you said, from a sweet potato or carrots, collard greens, what else can I think of? Cat liver. So if you had a meal of liver, if you could train that little girl to eat liver and onions once a week, you know what you're really doing? You're doing your job by making sure that little child is going to be very, very strong. And you know what you want her to be? I know first and foremost you want her to be spiritually strong. You want her to be saved. You don't want her to be lost for eternity, but you don't want her to be weak. Because with a little girl... What now?
I said you got to be strong.
Yes, ma'am. And as long as you're living on the earth, you're going to be a combination of spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. There's no other way around it. As long as you're moving around in this body that God's given you, you're going to be a combination of the spiritual, emotional, and the physical, right?
That's right.
Yeah, there's no way around it. And so what we want to do is we want to give her the very best chance to be strong and radiant and resilient, because we know this world is going to chew up and spit out of anybody that's not. It's just the way it is. That's why we're in a battle right now. And who's our adversary? The devil. So you might as well learn, you might as well choose to be strong so you can resist him. Because what does the Bible say? If you resist him, he will flee from you.
That's right.
So, vitamin A is so essential to getting over plantar warts, but that's what cod liver oil is really supposed to do. One of the components of good cod liver oil is it presents you with food-based vitamin A from a living, breathing animal from the surface of the earth. Did I say surface? I meant under the surface of the ocean. I can't even get my stories right.
That's okay. I mean, if I ever see a codfish living on the surface of the earth, I'll be like, okay, I think I'm dreaming.
Well, you'd have to believe in evolution for that one, because they can start developing arms and legs where they can start to walk on the earth, right?
Yeah, then next thing I know, they're talking to me.
Exactly. That's the way that evolution goes. You go from algae to a codfish, it walks on the land, and then bingo, you got a talking dog. Or is it a chimpanzee? Which one is it?
I don't know. I don't want to meet either one.
A little spooky, huh?
Yeah, a little.
Well, if this was a Pixar or Disney cartoon, I could see how that could happen. But there's no such thing as a talking fish.
No doubt. I have a question. Where would I find liquid iodine?
Well, if you were to go, tell me again, where do you live? What's your largest town you're closest to?
Canton.
Why are you being difficult? I wanted you to say something different.
Tyler.
Can't you read my mind? There you go. No, you can go to either. Probably any of the health food stores that you would go to would probably have that. Or if you do live in the middle of nowhere, you could order it online, liquid iodine. And you know what? Do you know what the term cretinism is?
No.
Okay. I'm going to try not to make a joke out of this, but in the Bible, there's a reference to cretins, and it's not complimentary. So if somebody were to say, if somebody said, "Hey, Roy, you're a cretin," that would not be something where I go, "Oh, that's the sweetest thing that anybody's ever said to me. That's such a compliment." No, that's not what it means. It's like saying you're a mouth-breathing Neanderthal knuckle-dragger. That's not a compliment, right?
No.
But cretinism is, I'm going to just say it sweetly, it's a lack of intelligence.
Okay.
And so when a mother is pregnant, if she doesn't have enough iodine, What she does is she produces offspring and children that aren't as bright and smart as what we really want them to be. See, what I want is I want everybody being super intelligent and then choosing to use all their gifts that God's given them in a very, very productive way, which means the world becomes a better place. Because what you have then is you have people that are using their intelligence, doing things that are very, very good for everybody. They're providing a service. They're providing a product. So when I went to the post office this week, I asked the lady at the desk, I said, why do you have all the police tape around your mailboxes? And you know what she told me? She said, because last Thursday, Dr. Morgan, somebody took a pry bar and they opened up the mailboxes, both of them. You know, the kind when you're trying to get your bills in the mail and it's like 5:30 and you pop them in there. Well, they took the pry bars and popped them open. And I said, well, why did they do that? And they said, probably two reasons. They either want to get your information, number one. Actually, there's three. They want to look for birthday cards where Grandma sent $5 to grandson Billy. Or number three, they want the checks that you've used to pay the bills so they can soak them in acetone and they can forge the check and they can get some money out of it. You tell me, why would somebody use their energy in a very unproductive manner like that? Wouldn't it be better if they helped the world? But when you're low in iodine, you do stuff like that. You become a cretin.
Okay.
And so we need iodine.
I guess I have a lot of iodine, and I've never even thought of doing anything like that in my life.
Let me think. But ma'am, I haven't really examined you for an iodine deficiency. Aren't you getting ahead of yourself?
Probably.
No, you're doing great. And that's why we have the iodine patch test. It's real simple. You take a 2% iodine tincture. It's the kind that where they have it dyed with like a yellow, orange, brown dye. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, isn't that what I'm going to be putting on her foot?
You can, or you can get a stronger iodine that's clear. Iodine has no color. The way that iodine got its name is it was named after the Greek goddess Iodes. Because when they burn iodine in flame, guess what color it is? It's purple.
Okay.
Anyway, that's probably too much information. But the iodine is like what people call the monkey blood. I know it's not, but it's not mercurochrome, but still, people still call it that. But if you had a cut from working in the yard and you want to put that on your skin to prevent infection, it's going to be that brown, orange, yellow colored iodine. Are we on?
Yeah.
You got that?
Yeah, we used it all the time when I was a kid.
So what you do is just paint some on your skin. Anywhere you want. If you want it to be the back of your hand, that's fine. If you want it to be your forearm, that's fine. The top of your thigh, over your tummy. Just rub some iodine on there and see how long it takes for your body to absorb it. But I'm going to tell you this. If that patch of colored iodine is still there 24 hours later, most likely you have plenty of iodine. But guess what? If it's not, that means your body is desperate for it. And it's trying to suck down every last drop of iodine it can get, even if it's from a topical solution. And you know what? Girls need iodine. If you're going to have healthy breast tissue, you got to have iodine. If you want to have healthy ovaries and a uterus, you got to have iodine. If you want to have healthy skin, guess what you need? Iodine. But besides that, how can you make thyroid hormones without iodine? You know what the woman told me yesterday? She said, Dr. Morgan, this is so weird. I put 4 drops of iodine. It's called Lugol solution. You could use that just fine. She said, I put that in some grape juice and drank it, and I felt amazingly alive all day long. I'm going, what can we learn from this statement here? Well, what would you learn from that if you put a drop of iodine in your grape juice and all of a sudden you felt like you were alive and your brain was clearer? What would that say to you?
I need to do this more often.
Bingo. You get the prize. It really is. And you know what? God is so smart how he designed everything. I don't even understand a half of it. That's really an understatement. It's more like less than 1/10 of a half of 1%. He's God. He has infinite knowledge. You and I, we are quite finite, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
So the little girl probably needs some iodine.
All right. I can do that.
Did I do overkill on that topic?
No, it's good.
Okay, good.
Iodine from Standard Process also.
Yeah, that's what I take internally.
Yeah, I could give her some internally also, right?
Yeah, you could. I'd say maybe just one.
Okay. I have one last quick question. I'm fixing to hang up. You started the program with the 2.5 uric acid in the 1700s.
Yeah, because what happens
what
when
is
you're...
it now?
Well, here's... Okay, I'm just telling you what the research says.
Okay.
If some, it's very easy to have your uric acid levels, and let me just kind of... Can I play on what you just said? Because I'm going to try to make this a valuable conversation, okay? If you want to rip your kidneys to shreds, if you want to cause high blood pressure, if you want to wreck your body with arthritis, if you want to cause diabetes, just let your uric acid levels go up. And so the goal is you can go to any doctor, any nurse practitioner. Let me just be real clear right here. I love nurse practitioners. They are a joy to work with. They make my job so delightful because all I have to do is say, call one up and say, Mrs. Nurse Practitioner Jones, that's just a fictitious name, by the way. Thank you so much for doing this for my patient and your patient, too. Could you do this and this and this, and could you throw in a uric acid level? You know what they say 100% of the time? They say, that's a brilliant plan. I had the same idea. Let's do it. And I say, way to go. Because the bottom line is, if you're in healthcare, you got to set your mind like Flint that whatever you do is for the patient's best interest, not for yours, for the patient's best. So if a patient goes to the doctor and says, I'd like a copy of the lab work, I don't want to hear it anymore. We can't do that. That's too hard to do. We'll have to do that. That's ridiculous. Give them their lab work.
That's right.
They're paying you big bucks. But uric acid, if it's above 5.5, then your blood pressure is going to be out of control, and you're going to rip your body to shreds. All you're doing with high uric acid is you're slicing your kidneys up. I think the latest study shows there's a hormone produced by your kidneys to regulate blood pressure. It's called angiotensin. Well, guess what you do with high uric acid? You wreck it every single time. Do you know what cottage cheese is? Do you know what dimpling is? It's called orange peel also. It's referring to a condition called, I can't remember it. Is it cellulite?
Yeah.
Did you know that cellulite is impossible to have before the age of puberty? It's only after you become a menstruating female that you develop cellulite.
Okay.
Well, they think now that uric acid is responsible for all that. So when you have high fructose corn syrup, guess what you're doing? You're making that uric acid go up. And when you drink a boatload of beer, you're making the uric acid go up. And so the number that you're asking is 5.5. Okay. Personally, I like to see it in the fours. If you can get uric acid in the fours, then guess what the prize is? You get to move around without pain. You get to have normal blood pressure. And you get to have a body that serves you well. There, you win.
All right.
Guess what helps lower uric acid? Cherries. Guess what the highest food in uric acid is? Black tea.
Oh.
Yeah. I think pork is number two, but any time that you eat a boatload of sugar, you're asking for the uric acid levels to go up. See, going back to the grocery store idea, we had the 1 liter glass Coca-Cola bottles, which that was new technology back in the 70s. Are you with me on that? Nobody had ever produced a 1 liter glass bottle to put Coca-Cola in. It was like radical. So when I helped load those off the grocery truck on the rollers, what I would do is really sit on the boxes and ride them down like a roller coaster. Talk about fun. I had so much fun as a kid. It was just unbelievable. But anyway, those Coke bottles, they would sit in the hot sun, and one or ever so often they would just explode. Do you know what shards of glass look like when a Coke bottle explodes?
Yes.
Well, that's what uric acid looks like in the body. When uric acid is above 5.5, you're just dying from a death from 1,000 cuts internally. I started to ask you if you've ever been in a knife fight, but I decided not to ask that question because I'm assuming you have many, many times.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want you to relive the trauma of it, though.
Knife fighter. Yeah, that's me.
Yes, you sound like a most aggressive knife-wielding woman. But, hey, a girl's got to protect herself, right?
Yeah, they got to have fun, too, you know.
Okay, we're dropping that topic since I brought it up. You know what? I'm making myself look bad, aren't I? Okay, so here's the deal. We want everybody to be strong and radiant. You can't do that if you're eating a lot of sugar all day long.
All right.
Cherries are amazing at helping to scrub uric acid from the body. You're trying to get rid of all the broken shards of glass from the 1 liter Coke bottle. You know how I really know about that? Can I just tell you the truth? My dad's hobby was going to garage sales and buying broken axes and hammers. That was his fun. Because you know what he loved to do? He loved to go buy like a hickory handle for an axe. And guess how he would shave it down to make it fit the axe head? He would use a broken shard of a Coke bottle. Now, you talk about a knife. That's a knife, baby, right there. It'll cut you to pieces.
I guess so.
But no, that was his fun. I've watched him do it hundreds of times. He takes that broken shard of glass, he puts on a leather glove, and he holds it, and he uses it to shave down the hickory handle. And it's real precise. But you know what? Your kidney is not a hickory handle. It's a kidney.
It's
and that's where uric acid is going to rip you to shreds. This is the reason why you could be a skinny girl and you could have like a fatty liver every single time. It's because of the fructose and the sugar leading to the production of uric acid. Uric acid makes fatty livers. Anyway, I think we're almost out of time. I'm so sorry to cut you off.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have I given you enough information?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I hope you have a great day, and blessings upon your great-granddaughter.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, the program that you have been listening to is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. It's by God's good grace and favor that I'm even up and alive this morning. Thank you so much, Lord. And you know what else I say? I accept the challenge. Thank you for giving me challenging work. Thank you for giving me problems to solve. I mean, when I say problems, I mean the problems that I can solve. I don't mean long-standing emotional issues. I'm not a counselor. But you give me something about the human body that's right up my alley. I love it. Let's find a natural way to get your body strong again. You better stop wasting time and get after it. You don't know how much time you have left.